Good afternoon. My name is Pradeep, and thanks for the introduction, Dr. French. I work with Professor Hank Ashbaugh at Tulane University, New Orleans. Glenn P. Johnson and Alfred French are also associated in this project, which is simulation studies of wetting of crystalline faces of cotton cellulose. I would like to thank Cotton Incorporated for funding this project. And let's get started about this. Cellulose is one of the most abundant biomolecules on the planet, and it's an important constituent of cell wall in almost all eukaryotic plant cells. Cellulose is essentially a linear chain polysaccharide formed by condensation of dextrose glucose with beta glycosidic bonds, and it's a linear chain polysaccharide. There are different crystal morphologies of cellulose that exist in nature, the two main being one alpha and one beta, and other morphologies can be produced by chemically modifying cellulose. What you see here is a TM of primary cell wall of cotton, and you see these cellulose fibers, which actually consist of crystallites of one beta. Close anatomy of cotton fiber will show that there are different layers of these crystallites orientation, and these evolve with the development of the cotton ball. And one, the primary wall consists mainly of 1-beta crystallites, cellulose 1-beta crystallites. Now, cotton at room temperature has 5% of water, and studies have shown that moist cotton fibers are stronger than dry fibers because of the hydrogen bonds become stronger in moist cotton fibers. But there is also always a trade-off between the strength, and then you're paying for cotton by weight, and so nobody wants to pay for water. So there's this trade-off, and so it's really important to understand how water interacts with cotton and on these surfaces, on these crystal surfaces. The crystal structure of cellulose 1-beta was studied as early as 1913 using X-ray diffraction, but it was not solved until 2002. When Nishiyama and group did neutron diffraction studies. So the motivation and objective of this whole study is, there is a need to understand how moisture interacts, how water interacts with cellulose surfaces. And these interactions are very difficult to image experimentally, and so computational studies can come handy in such cases. And it always gives us an insight into understanding the interactions at molecular level. And cellulose can be modified chemically to produce, to alter these interactions. And you can have water rippling and self-cleaning and self-fast-drying fabrics by chemically modifying cellulose. And what we are going to do is we are going to study the interfacial tension of water using molecular dynamic simulations on these surfaces. At the pretext, I should say that this project is at very incipient stage, and what I'm going to show you are very preliminary results, but they are exciting at the same time. So I'd like to share that with you guys. Let's go into a little bit of computational details. We used GROMAX molecular dynamics package. Jody made it really easy for me by explaining what molecular dynamics is, so I'm not going over that. We used GlyCam06 force field, which is GlyCam force fields, as she mentioned, are optimized for glucose for carbohydrates. We use a TIP 4P EW water model, which is a 4-point water model, and we do constant volume simulations at 300 Kelvin with non-periodic boundary conditions. Now, we have periodic boundary conditions in x and y direction and not in the z direction, as I would show you a little while later. And we have a repulsive wall at in z direction at 150 angstroms, which is essentially to preserve the humidity. And we do all these simulations on a 20 by 20 by 2 surface of 1 beta cellulose. What you see here is actually a fiber of a cellulose chain with glucose units. And I'm going to show you the structure of cellulose in the next slide. What you see here is the structure of 1 beta cellulose obtained from neutron diffraction, and this was given to us from Dr. French gave the structure to us, and we did simulations on the structure. As you see here, this is the unit cell which has a monoclinic P2-1 kind of a geometry, and these are the cell the lattice parameters. What you see is the XY plane of this crystal, and the chains actually the chain, as I showed before, extends in the Y direction in this particular figure. And there are two distinct surfaces, the 110 plane and 110 surface. And there is a, since these two surfaces offer expose the hydroxyl groups to different degrees, water might interact differently on these two surfaces, and that's what we intend to study. Now, what we did was we rotated this whole structure, and we identified a repeating unit, and we essentially translated it to make a 20 by 20 sheet. And this is how it looks when you look at it from the top. These are the cellulose chains with glucose monomers. And then I placed 1,000 water molecules in a cubical box centrally on the surface. To introduce hydrophobicity, we had to. This is a glucose monomer here, and you see that there are these hydroxyl groups. And so introduce hydrophobicity, and we would expect this to be hydrophilic, and that's why I'm saying it's to introduce hydrophobicity, we replace these hydroxyl groups with methyl groups. And when we do this, we have to optimize the geometry again by using HF631 G-star level of theory. And we calculated the partial charges using rest method. This is how they do in the glycan force field. And we lumped the charges on hydrogen atoms onto the carbon atoms, and we did simulations for varying degree of hydrophobicity by substituting the glucose units with these hydrophobic monomers. All these simulations were done for 10 nanoseconds, which is pretty big on molecular time scale. Let's take a look at the results. What you see here is the structure at the simulation results of water after 10 nanoseconds on these surfaces. This is unmodified 110 surface, and you see that the water spreads on the surface, and you don't see a monolayer coverage because there is not enough water molecules to cover the surface completely. But you see that water molecules are all over the place, and so essentially we can say that water spreads evenly on the surface when you have no surface modification. We can also verify this by looking at the radial density profiles, which is essentially calculating the density of the water from a center of mass of the water. And the x-axis here shows increasing radial distance from the center of mass in the direction I'm pointing. And this is the height from the surface of the of the cellulose. And one more thing I forgot to mention before was that we constrained our monomer units, leaving the functional groups, the hydroxyl groups, to freely, and we had an infinite chain in all the, in the y direction. This is the this radial density profile for the 1 minus 0 bar, and you pretty much see spreading in both cases. There are some very subtle differences in them, the way they spread, but we haven't been able to quantify it yet, and we are in process of doing that. But as of now, I could say that water spreads on both surfaces. Now we went on and we replaced 25% of the surface of the chains of the monomer units with the hydrophobic unit, and we kind of had a pattern here. What you see is it's really interesting that the water kind of tends to be on the hydrophilic groups and not on the green part. The green here is the hydrophobic monomers, and the gray is hydrophilic ones. So you see there's hardly any water molecule on the green part, and there are these channels that form water channels, and you essentially confining, it's a one-dimensional confinement of water on these surfaces. And if you see sideways, there are these clear hydrophobic boundaries. Now this is really interesting that you can confine, you can form water channels by patterning the surface. But that is probably not realizable in practically. So we did a random replacement of the groups, 25%, and you see that the water spreads on these surfaces, but it tries to be mostly on this gray part. We're trying to quantify this too as to what is the probability of water being on the hydrophilic groups versus what is on the hydrophobic groups. But qualitatively, you can see that the water kind of tends to be on the gray part, and the green parts are kind of water-free. So you kind of channelizing water in over the hydrophilic groups. But there is spreading. When half of the groups are replaced with hydrophobic monomers, there are two patterns. The first pattern is you have these horizontal stripes, and you see that the water kind of forms a concave lens here, and it's not spreading as much as in 25% case. And when you look at the surface density profiles, you again see that lens type profile for both cases. I mean, there are some differences. The darker these lines are, the higher the surface density is. But there are differences in both surfaces, but they're very subtle, and we are yet to quantify the effect. The other pattern is a chessboard type of pattern where you have alternate groups, and you have a chessboard kind of patterns. And here again, you see similar behavior. You see water becoming a convex drop. However, there would be a hydrophilic contact angle, which we intend to calculate. And it's evident from the surface density profiles here. OK, we went ahead and we replaced 75% groups. This is just complementary to the 25% case. And here again, you have a pattern. And what you see that water essentially tries to minimize its contact with the hydrophobic groups. And in the process of doing it, it kind of forms a faceted droplet. It's not a spherical droplet. It's a faceted droplet. More hexagonal in this case, and there are clear hydrophobic boundaries which the water doesn't want to cross, and the water droplets which have escaped this lump is mostly sitting on the gray portion, and the surface density profiles kind of tries to show that it's more of a hydrophobic adiewetting phenomena here. We did the 75% case too, and here again, you don't see a hexagonal droplet or a facet, but there is significant effects of having water trying to minimize the chemical potential by staying on the hydrophilic groups and not being on the hydrophobic groups, and the profile looks almost similar. Now it's the 100% case where we replaced all the glucose monomers with our hydrophobic unit, the methyl groups, and you see more like a spherical profile. The water just curls up and forms a spherical droplet. And here you can actually calculate contact angle, and you look at the profile, and you can see that it's a hydrophobic contact angle. So it's a dewetting, and this phenomena is kind of same for both 110 and 1-10 surface. Since we don't have the contact angle at this moment, we use the height of the droplet as a metric for wetting. And what you see here is as the percentage replacement goes up, the height of the droplet goes up. And it's same for both the surfaces, almost similar within the confines of the error bars. And you see that there is a dewetting happening. And so you can control the water movement on the surfaces by chemically modifying it. So in conclusion, we can say that we studied the wetting of cellular surfaces using molecular dynamics simulations. It's very incipient stage, and the water spreads completely on the unmodified surface. And for surface modification of over 50%, we start seeing dewetting phenomena. The most interesting thing that we saw was the one-dimensional nano-confinement of water on these surfaces when the surfaces are patterned in certain ways. And the work in progress here is we are studying the effect of droplet size, because at the nanoscopic level, there are significant line tension effects, and that could be evaluated only when you do the different size droplets and calculate contact angles for them. And we are still in the process of devising methods to quantify these interfacial tensions for partially modified surfaces where you have different surface tensions along different dimensions. And we also like to see by study other groups, I mean modifying cellulose with other functional groups. And I would like to thank Cotton Incorporated and Dr. French again for helping us with this project. And I would be happy to take your questions and any suggestions that you have. Thank you.